Welcome to Inside the World Economic Forum. I'm Michael Hanley. In this week's edition, we introduce you to the three Swiss finalists of the Schwab Foundation Social Entrepreneur of the Year. In our weekly What If scenario, we hear what Stephen Percy, Director of Policy Integration at the International Labour Organization, believes is a global social time bomb. This week, the Schwab Foundation crowned its Swiss Social Entrepreneur of the Year. The jury chose the winner from three finalists, all unique and doing their part to try and make the world a better place. First, we introduce you to South Pole Carbon. They are hoping to merge financial gain with cleaner air. Renat Heuberger tells us how they're managing to do that.
South Pole Carbon is a private company based in Zurich. We have 9 offices around the world with some 100 people working for us. And what we basically do is we develop projects around the world that protect the climate and also contribute to a sustainable development on the ground with the local population. And why are we doing that? We're doing it so that companies around the globe can contribute to climate change by participating in our projects. They can become carbon neutral by having a share in our projects.
Now, what made you start this company? Why did you launch it?
First of all, it was the big concern of climate change. I'm myself a scientist, an environmental scientist, and climate change is one of the biggest threats we have these days. But at the moment, as you can see, politicians are unable to agree on any kind of compromise in this world. So we believe very strongly that the private industry, private players do have a role to play. They do have to contribute. And we believe that you can do this not only by kind of donations, but by creating market mechanisms that allow the right incentives, to give the right incentives for industries to participate. And this is exactly what South Pole makes possible on a global scale.
This is the thing. I mean, you know, if it pays, industry is going to do it, right?
That's precisely right. What industries need is the right market, is the right price. If you give that to them, they can do it. And what we need is the right conditions in which such an approach is possible. If that is the case, you have so much more power, because it's not just a one-off donation, it's a whole system you create. And we strongly believe that this is a very interesting way to tackle this massive problem.
Why is South Pole Carbon important?
We believe that South Pole Carbon is very important for several reasons. First of all, as I mentioned, politicians are unable to do something. We believe the private industry is now asked to step in and show that it is possible to change something. We are partners of companies, of international corporations, big companies, to do exactly that. And the second reason, I think, very importantly also for Switzerland itself, we have a crisis now, a strong Swiss franc and so on and so forth, and companies are afraid that the economy is going down. Now we need entrepreneurs. We need that the big potential of ideas made in Switzerland are hitting the road now. We need them now. And what we prove is that South Pole is absolutely profitable in the middle of the crisis. And don't forget, we're having all our earnings in euro, but still we're profitable. And we would like to showcase this and like to motivate other companies, other potential entrepreneurs to act now and put their ideas into place, into reality now. We need it.
Now we hear from Roman Bleichenbacher, who after getting a bad mango in Cuba was inspired to create a database that lets consumers know exactly what they're buying and what's in it.
What is CodeCheck and what do you do?
CodeCheck is a platform that gets more information about daily products. For example, what is 2E250 or a sodium lauryl sulfate in a cosmetic product, or for what is the label on a product? And is palm oil in it, or all these questions about daily products, you get an answer on CodeCheck.
Why did you start this? What was your inspiration?
The inspiration was like I was in Cuba in 1998, and I buy there on the market a mango, but this one was really not so sweet and it was not good. And then I asked my landlord how I get a good mango, and I tried and tried again and go to the market, and afterwards I know what are the criteria to buy a good mango. And when I was back in Switzerland, then I asked myself how we choose the right product, what is the best for me and for the environment and for the whole society. And it's really hard to decide here because all this packaging, all this labeling, and it's a lot of information on the package, and it's really hard to choose in our society here.
Why is CoCheck important?
It's such an important thing because consuming is for everyone, and everyone have to consume, and it can be make a big change in the world if we start consuming the right stuff.
Okay, and what are you hoping to achieve with CoCheck?
Yes, I hope to can integrate more information about the environment, about the society, and about the health. And these are our criteria to get information, for example, the palm oil information, also maybe some CO2 footprint for product. And we can really scale it with information and give the information that consumer want to the consumer, and he get a really good tool to choose the right product, what he think is the best for him and for also other people.
And finally, a different approach to alcohol prevention campaigns. Poins figures positive reinforcement is the way to go. Bert Drittenbass tells us how they're doing it.
What is Poins and what does Poins do?
Poins is a rewarding system. That means we go with young people in clubs and at events and do there some breath tests. And the young people who made the breath test with measures from 0.3 promille and below, they get a reward. They get a card with a PIN code on it. The value of the PIN code is 10 points. That means 10 Swiss francs. They can collect it on our website and spend it for CDs, DVDs, cinema tickets and concert cards.
What inspired you to create Poins?
In our past, my partner has made big events with a lot of party, and I was his marketing guy. And we thought that these parties with 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 people, that the more than 50% of the people there have been drinking not too much. They've drinking one or two drinks in the measurements of 0 to 0.3. And so we thought we have to do a prevention campaign which reward the good ones, and not a prevention campaign to go to the guys and the girls who drink too much. Because when they have too much, you cannot talk to them. They cannot understand you. So we have done the other campaign to go for the good ones and to reward them.
So basically positive reinforcement.
Absolutely. The positive reinforcement, yes.
And why is Poins important? Why is this type of campaign important?
I think it's important because it's an attractive campaign. It's a campaign which is a mix between prevention and marketing. What we do on the reward side with CDs, we have actual CDs. That means we have the newest, the latest CDs from the stars. Our partners are the big labels, from EMI Records to Sony Pictures, and all these companies are giving us the goods, the goodies, and we do all the sending to the members when they order it with these points. That means we have a very attractive modern campaign, and not a preventional campaign like some other organizations do. It's an unconventional campaign. It's absolutely new thing. It's an innovation in doing prevention.
And what are you hoping to achieve with this?
Our biggest goal is to get a big community. What we see that in party locations or at the street parties in towns and in small towns, the majority of the people, they don't drink too much. they have fun to drink some drinks, one or two, but not too much. And we want to build a big community with these good people. It's a fun campaign with a very preventional background and preventional idea behind.
While these three entrepreneurs have created their own jobs, the lack of available employment is the subject of this week's What If scenario. Stephen Percy is the Director of Policy Integration at the International Labour Organization.
Well, I think we face a global social time bomb. Perhaps it would be more accurate to say a series of time bombs, because it's different in different parts of the world, different countries. And it's derived, I think, from a shortage of enough jobs, enough good jobs to go around, and widening social inequalities. For example, something like 61 million people in the world have as much income as the bottom 3.5 billion. So there's an enormous differentiation here between the very top of the world income distribution and the bottom. If you think of it in terms of jobs, about 1.2 billion adults are not able to earn enough to keep their families above the $2 a day poverty line per person. We have 200 million unemployed. We have 85 million of that is a youth. We have a prospect over the next 10 years of having to grow 40 to 45 million jobs every year. That's 400 odd million before 2020. Now, the consequences of not achieving this, and if current forecasts of the global economy bear themselves out, we won't achieve them, then I think we have these social time bombs ticking all over the world. I think it's very hard to say exactly how these explosive situations will go off. Indeed, we can see it already. You have all sorts of different things happening. Sometimes it's in the form of a relatively organized protest, where you can see people on the streets with reasonably coherent demands being put to their governments, basically expressing the fact that the leadership of the country is not hearing them, not listening to them, so they have to go out and protest in an organised way. But at other times it'll come out in much less focused ways, riots, or even just rather small-scale issues of social dislocation, of people, of family violence increasing, drug abuse increasing, and all sorts of ways of these social tensions finding their way out into society, often in very destructive ways. In the longer term, of course, what you see is a tremendous waste. I mean, here you have a large part of the world's population not contributing to global development, either because they can't find a job or because they're undernourished, ill health, and are unable to contribute productively. So we have all sorts of ways in which these social time bombs are evident and become evident over time.
And that's it for today's podcast. I'm Michael Hanley. Join us again next week for the very latest coming out of the World Economic Forum.